Hello, and welcome to the Autonocast. I am one of your co-hosts, Kirsten Korosek, and I am joined, as always, by my less talented co-hosts, Ed Niedermeyer and Alex Roy. Hi, guys.
Wow.
I'm just kidding. Equally as talented, if not more so, co-host Alex Roy and Ed Niedermeyer. How are you?
Wow.
Not too bad. Happy to be recording this episode finally.
Yes. So Ed and Alex are a little breathless right now because they're very anxious to speak about what we're going to call the Lex Friedman episode, I believe. And so I'm going to just hand it over to them in a moment, and let Alex describe what this is all about. But in essence, it's going to focus on a study that came out by Lex Friedman and looking at, and it's called The Human Side of Tesla Autopilot, Exploration of Functional Vigilance in Real-World Human-Machine Collaboration. And also an adjoining podcast that he just released, which is an interview with Elon Musk. So, Alex, tell us about Lex Friedman.
Well, let's begin by saying that I have been kind of a fan of Lex Friedman for a while. Here's a guy. He's at MIT. He's a researcher at the Center for Transportation and Logistics. He works for a guy named Brian Reimer, whom I like very much and have had great conversations with in the past about safety and semi-automation and HMI. And Lex likes to dress like a character out of Men in Black. And so we share a quality is that we're as much interested in entertaining people and getting attention as in doing real research.
You do like to get attention.
I do, but I wouldn't pretend to be anything other than myself. So Lex has a podcast that I've really enjoyed where he interviews various people in the AI community. And this is where things go a little off the rails, and I admire him. He's really nailed down this kind of media personality shtick. He got on Joe Rogan as the AI guy, which is interesting because in this sector, there are a lot of people I would have imagined would get on Joe Rogan first as the guys.
Sorry, not to cut you off. Like, let's pivot here from Lex Friedman to actually this work. And by the way, like, he's not the only author of the work we're going to be discussing today. He's the lead author. He's the corresponding author. He's been promoting it. But
he's definitely guilty for anything that in there that I object to, in my opinion. Yeah. So
okay, but let's just clarify what this research is. So there's the MIT. It's called the Autonomous Vehicle Technology Study, which is this sort of overall study where they're basically instrumenting vehicles to record not just what's happening in the vehicle system, but also what's recording out on the road, and then also what's recording like sort of the quote unquote driving scene, and then also recording the driver with two different cameras, and it sort of syncs all that data together. And this is a general study. And then the most recent paper that I think we're going to focus on the most that came out of this study is about autopilot specifically. Whereas, the broader study looks at, it's almost all autopilot cars, but there's also a few other, there's a couple Super Cruise cars and a couple Volvos and stuff.
Well, and it sounds like based on some new information that we have learned that there is probably going to be another study, a company study that's released that looks at Super Cruise.
Okay.
And the central observation or this the whole idea or premise of this was to take data sets of Tesla drivers using autopilot, look at the percentage that are using autopilot, and then essentially try to determine if there's vigilance that is occurring, meaning, and the way you measure that is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if autopilot disengages based on cameras, so video feed of the driver, they can tell if the driver is able to maintain control of the vehicle, meaning that they were ready for it, which would be the hypothesis, meaning that if they were able to take control over it, then they must have been paying attention.
Right. And this functional vigilance thing is their sort of term, which is, and it's sort of technically different than vigilance. Vigilance is like you're sort of just monitoring the machine. I think the distinction is maybe a little bit academic, shall we say?
Well, according to Missy Cummings, functional vigilance is bullshit.
Because if you're monitoring a machine, right, and you're trying to decide if it's working or not, at the point of your vigilance is to monitor that whether it's working or not. like that's kind of the whole point of being vigilant anyway, right? Like vigilantly monitoring a machine but not caring how it's doing its job just doesn't really make a lot of sense. So I think it's a little bit of an overblown distinction, but anyway, that's not really the big issue here.
Right. So there is a terminology issue, but for the purposes of this podcast, functional vigilance essentially is going to mean paying attention to the machine, in this case, the vehicle, and being prepared to function the car if autopilot disengages.
Right. And this is important because, right, like this is sort of what came out of the NTSB investigation of Josh Brown is that, you know, basically he was allowed, because of the system design, he was allowed to not pay attention essentially and operate the vehicle in a place where it wasn't safe. And that combination is what enabled him to drive into a semi-truck at high speed. We've also seen several other incidents where similar things seem to have happened. The NTSB is investigating those. We'll see what they find out in those situations. But like this is another case where, you know, there's this study comes out and it seems to basically say this stuff isn't an issue. NTSB's what came out of that investigation doesn't really matter because when people use the system, they're maintaining functional vigilance, right? That was the top line.
Let's just tell the audience what the takeaway for everyone is on this paper. But I think it's hiding another takeaway. The main takeaway is that Tesla Autopilot works just fine, and most people do not have a skill decrement. And that's and Elon Musk retweeted it, and Lex Fridman got invited to California to have a discussion full of pulled punches about why all this is fine. And it's not fine.
But to clarify, the whole premise of the study wasn't actually to measure how well autopilot was functioning. It was to measure how human interaction with an AI system.
Right. Because there's lots of research that shows that like over time, people become less vigilant when they are monitoring automation versus when they're actually engaged in the driving task. And so this was like a, you know, I think, and he says there's blog posts where he sort of talks like this about this as being a really significant finding because it does fly in the face, apparently, of you know, like I said, what a bunch of peer reviewed, by the way, research, which shows that in almost all cases, like, you know, monitoring automation ultimately causes a mix of sort of boredom and distraction and other things that make people less vigilant. And so this, and that's been sort of a criticism of Tesla. Or of autopilot. And like this really seems to sort of say, no, that may be true broadly in a lot of different cases of automation monitoring. But in this case, our functional vigilance measurements showed that that's not a problem with autopilot.
Right. So first, before Alex, I know you have a lot to say, but before
then,
we should provide some numbers. So the sample size was almost 19,000 disengagements of autopilot. So they took a data set of the drivers. They found that 34.8% use autopilot for their driven miles. And observations were based on nearly 19,000 disengagements of autopilot. They used that to build the hypothesis, which is that drivers using autopilot appear to maintain a relatively high degree of what they call functional vigilance. So those are the numbers. And I will also say that it's not just been this issue has not just been something that other folks have talked about. Actually, in response to questions on earnings calls, Elon Musk has mentioned that what they have found is that complacency of autopilot has been the issue with drivers, not autopilot itself, which would actually seem to be the exact opposite of what this hypothesis of this study concludes.
Yeah, that's one of the fascinating things to me is because Musk sort of happily retweeted this and put that out there, but he himself said, I don't have the quote in front of me right at this second, but he said, the problem is over time, the complacency of drivers who are using autopilot goes up, and that's what contributes to these crashes.
Right.
And if you look at Missy Cummings' response to all this, and she is a very important authority on all this, she would say that the whole study is suspect because of all the caveats. You know, the people in the test sample knew they were being monitored. They had special training, and it was in a limited geo fence. Ed, right. You had a number of other caveats you attached to that.
Well, yeah. So those are actually, I think those are my, so first of all, we should be clear. I mean, I think what you're referring to with Missy Cummings is that the caveats that the authors themselves listed, so Friedman and his other authors themselves sort of seem to take away from the findings. And I'll just list those really quick. The limitations and implications of this work, including that these findings, one, cannot be directly used to infer safety, as a much larger data set would be required for crash-based statistical analysis of risk. Two, may not be generalizable for the population to a population of drivers, nor autopilot versions outside our data set. Three, do not include challenging scenarios that did not lead to autopilot disengagement. In other words, there were no crashes in their data set. Four, are based on human annotation of critical signals. And five, do not imply that driver attention management signals are not potentially highly beneficial additions to the functional vigilance framework. Okay, so those are the ones they list.
Well, and that last one... Yeah. Yeah. And the last one is important too, because that's something that Lex Friedman believes in, which is, or appears to believe in, which is having some,
says he believes
yeah.
in.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the big takeaway for me is that up front, if you do a find for the word management, you'll find the word management is listed in like the top paragraph, and it refers to driver attention management systems, not, which is different from driver monitoring systems. And so, like, I believe that this whole paper is a setup for Lex trying to attract attention to his next paper or a startup that he's looking to launch outside of MIT.
This because is your theory, we should be clear. It's not
all
like
theory. I'll tell you why. Okay. Because this entire conversation and this paper, which is full of pulled punches and leans towards Tesla, conceals, and if you look at the charts in it, conceals the real solution, which is an augmented driving system. You know, Tesla Autopilot and everybody else's stuff is series. An augmented system, a parallel system like Toyota Guardian, or something else, a driver management system on top of parallel system that only a couple of companies are even equipped to create. Seeing Machines, Affectiva, the Adam Cogtech guys that I've been talking to for months, you know, are all looking at like ADAS 2.0, which is not what Musk or Tesla or Autopilot's all about. A system which aids a driver in improving their cognition and which is different from trying to monitor a driver and then deactivate a system and then makes them actually less safe. So I think this whole paper is basically a hint at where Lex wants to go or he wants to work.
Do you think
that he's been sucking up to Tesla because he's afraid to take a side?
Well, actually, but that's where you're saying a conflicting statement, because if he was sucking up to Tesla, then why would he be pushing or potentially promoting a driver management system, which we just heard an interview that he did with Elon Musk, and Elon Musk flat out believes that that is not necessary. Because in a short amount of time, these are his words, the cars will function to such a level of degree of automation that it would be silly to have a monitoring system.
Yeah, but there's something, nobody in their right mind believes that who actually works in the sector, who isn't paid by Elon Musk. And my point
still stands then.
Why didn't Friedman call him out?
Why didn't Friedman call him out? Because Friedman would never have had that kind of access. Friedman's not an interviewer with the skill or aggression of a real journalist. And he's an academic who's trying to massage his celebrity to raise money for the CTL or for his first startup. And to its credit.
But again, it goes in direct conflict.
Allegedly.
By the way, all allegedly. And again, what you're saying, though, is in direct conflict with reality, which is why would, aside from getting an interview with Elon Musk, which is great for your career and all those things, if he is in disagreement over that one fact. So I don't see how quote unquote sucking up to Tesla would help him.
If you listen to that podcast, it's just, so what do you think of driver monitoring? And then Musk just says, Musk's answer is, well, if the system is safer than the driver, then no driver monitoring system's of any value, is such a bullshit answer. And there's no pushback. You'll notice, like, Friedman asks a question, there's an answer, and he walks out.
Right. Like, I agree. I agree that the interview style could be better. Okay. But my point again is that if your theory is that this is all just signaling of yes. what he's going to be doing next, then it doesn't, and the company that he's quote unquote, you know, sucking up to doesn't agree that a driver management system is necessary. Those two things conflict.
No, they're actually perfectly in harmony because the next conversation is, hey, Elon, I'm working on something which actually fits perfectly in case you don't reach FSD in the lifespan of the vehicles. Mm. And next thing you know is I'd love to see it, if Lex.
Okay. So let's talk less about like intentions and motivations and stuff like that.
Let's
I get uncomfortable discussing stuff like that. I think there's a lot to discuss in terms of the reality of this here. And I wrote a piece about this at the Drive, which you can read. I hope you will. And you know, like we mentioned earlier, you know, Friedman and his co-authors had a lot of caveats to their own research, which frankly, like, I think makes it really hard to draw a meaningful safety conclusion from the work anyway, which kind of makes you wonder what the whole point is. But there were a number of caveats, I think, that are important too, that they didn't mention at all. And I sort of, you know, cottoned on to this when Anima Anandkumar, who's NVIDIA's head of director of research, suggested that Friedman pursue a peer-reviewed publication for this work before we'd seen it, by the way. And he responded by blocking her on Twitter, which I thought was really particularly. He also blocked you, Alex. I was blocked a while ago by him, but I thought that was really interesting. I mean, because here he is. It's, you know, this stuff has MIT's name on it. And so I was looking at sort of experimental design when I started reading this, and I found that what I thought to be like pretty serious problems. One of the biggest ones is that there was not even an attempt to do random sampling. They just went out and recruited people by posting in forums and word of mouth and things like that. And to me, that's really problematic because you know, I'm very familiar with the Tesla forums, where including the ones where they posted these requests for participation. They have extremely strong pro-Tesla, you know, cultures. The most active members there are almost all investors, and people would be strongly motivated, right? If you're an investor and you know that autopilot has been a something that's come under criticism for Tesla, you own the car and someone says, hey, would you participate in a study, you know, to show that, you know, this can be in Friedman's own words, you know, safe and useful. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to perform in a different way than you would be if you thought that nobody cared or nobody was watching, or you didn't know what the point of the study was.
I have a question for you then.
Yeah.
So do you know, and I would agree that, you know, conclusion, while the study itself, if you were to just look at the numbers and not look at any of the caveats, the takeaway would be like, oh, wow, that's really different than what you would expect. And it could be this compelling discovery. But the problem is, of course, is how you get that data and that sample size. So yeah. Do you know how the wording that was used when the recruiting efforts to get these people to participate? Have we seen that? Do we know how that, because that matters.
Yep.
Right. So just like survey questions, it's why there are companies that do it so that you don't accidentally in a question insert an opinion that could hurt or taint the results. So that would be a number one question for me is, you know, already going to the forums is problematic because it's a very specific type of person, a type of person who is very passionate about Tesla and is passionate enough to be active on a forum. You know, that is a specific type of person.
Yeah.
And so I'd want to know, I mean, do we know?
So I found a couple posts requesting, and in this one, he requested a specific drive. It said anyone driving cross country from Boston to California. This is at the Tesla Motors Club forum, which again, I've been reading for years, and I've seen how this forum is policed, particularly by the people who participate most in the investor side.
All Lex had to do was call me and I would have driven back and forth like six times. So
he says, we're a group of MIT researchers looking for a person who's driving their car, preferably a Tesla, from Boston to California, preferably Fremont, California. We would like to add a dash cam to your car to record the forward roadway and we'll pay for it. Payment amount is negotiable. This will help our autonomous vehicle research, so your support and help would be very much appreciated. Hopefully one day we'll help save people's lives. He also did another post that I found. This was asking for survey participation that was to sort of to validate the instrumented data that they got. But what we don't know is what the survey was. At least I don't know at the moment what it asked, how it was done. And more importantly, at least some of the participants in the study were not only screened by a criminal background search and review of their driving record. So they're already picking better drivers, so cherry picking them. And they provided additional training to these people. And again, we don't know what that training was, what it entailed. But screening and grooming your participants in a survey that's supposed to be to collect, quote unquote, objectively collect naturalistic driving data. I'm sorry, like you can't screen and groom your participants and then claim that it's objective and naturalistic. And for me, I think, you know, the data that they collected, and I think this is such I say this in the piece, like this is such a modern phenomenon. I think we see more and more of it in some of the cases of quote unquote AI bias and stuff that we see, where it's like people are collecting what they think is objective data because it's, you know, hard measured, you know, measurable metrics collected by sensors and processed by computers. There's no human there. It must be objective. But how they're collecting it who they're collecting it from, and sort of the psychological and social and cultural and even financial factors that may be influencing that data go totally unexamined.
Kirsten, why do you think that Lex did not get this thing peer reviewed?
So I should say that I have not had a conversation with Lex, but we have messaged each other a few times. He has not blocked me.
He was, by the way, asked if he could come on the show, right?
Correct. And he politely declined. And I think now we know why, because he was about to release his own podcast, right? So now we know that there is a podcast of him and Elon Musk. And so that makes sense.
I also, by the way, had a very friendly relationship with him, or let's say I had a courteous relationship with him for, I don't know how long. We exchanged some messages. He apparently loves the Autonicast and has a Human Driving Association shirt. And everything was cool until he blocked me last week.
Yes, but you're just taking personal front of being blocked.
I am. So I am, because let me tell you, I have enemies that who don't block me, and we have a very healthy debate. So I'm suspicious of anyone who does not want to answer a direct question.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and defend someone I don't know, but I will say this. Not everyone is as well-versed on the ways to handle themselves on Twitter, like Alex and Ed are, right? So some folks just struggle with that type of debate and they're not very good at social media. I don't know if that's the reason why.
I'd say he's great at social media. The guy's been on Joe Rogan and he's just been with Elon Musk. This guy's a real winner.
Okay, so the question about peer review. So I did ask him about that because, you know, I was wanting to get the study prior to it being released. And there seemed to be a bit of deadline pressure. And so I just asked him, he did emphasize that, you know, he really likes to dig in and have longer conversations, perhaps why he likes the Autonicast. And I said, if that is the case, then why not, you know, go through a peer review? You know, what's the rush is essentially. And he responded, and his contention is that passing peer review is quite easy for these kinds of papers, but take a long time and focus on the narrow academic aspects of the work, not its practical impact. And then went on to tell me that that he, along with others on the paper, went through a more grueling process that included both academics and industry. And finally, he said, I believe that it's really important to have this discussion now about autopilot and about other level two systems, that there may be levels of driver assistance system imperfection below which self-regulation of functional vigilance will no longer hold and driver monitoring would be needed.
It still really grabs me that he uses the word driver management in the article.
He might just be coming up with, I mean, sorry to all the academics out there, but they just love their jargon terms and acronyms and stuff like that. So I think that the use of management is an important one. And this is one where I've had some recent conversations with people about, actually, Alex, it came up, a couple of people have said, you know, Alex is really on this whole driver monitoring system thing. And we kind of laughed about that. My feeling is that driver monitoring really doesn't matter if it doesn't change the behavior. So having a camera watch you means nothing.
Now you sound like Elon Musk.
No, but it's true.
Let's be clear.
Why would a camera watching you drive be of any help unless it actually changes your behavior or corrects it?
Kirsten, this is a straw man. Every driver monitoring system, it's not just watching you for the sake of watching you. It's watching you, and if you're not vigilant, right, it cuts off your access to the automation.
Let me make the case, guys, for what driver monitoring is and what it should be. What it is currently is assist systems which observe you when driver semi-automation is engaged, and then disengage it if they think you're not being functionally vigilant. These systems perform a function that's only good if the driver is in fact capable of taking over. So these systems are all at their very best half measures, and I think they're essential right now. Essential. It's why I love the Seeing Machines iteration and Super Cruise, and it's why, although I love autopilot, I absolutely am terrified of other people using it, but I do trust myself. The next phase of this, and everybody knows, the Adam Cogtech guys that I've been talking to are working on this, is driver management, which is why I'm so hooked onto the management word in this document, because the monitoring wouldn't just monitor, and it wouldn't just trigger a deactivation of semi-automation, but it would guide the driver towards a better choice, making monitoring and semi-automation preemptive of error as opposed to reactive and mitigatory of error. And all of that interlocks into a general ecosystem of human-machine cooperation that, if layered on top of Toyota Guardian, becomes the optimal combination of human and machine below level four.
Okay.
And everything or any other sub-conversation around this is just playing games.
So I don't disagree with what your contention is or your philosophy is. My point was just to explain why he's probably using the word management, which might be a higher level system than is currently out there. That is my whole point, is that the use of the word management might be a signal of some kind. But again,
I think it's the most important word in the entire document. And if it isn't, I would be so disappointed in Lex Fridman. And then Ed is not just 100% correct, he's 200% correct.
What's fascinating to me is that in a different interview that he did with Software Engineering Daily podcast back in, it was actually in 2017, it reran in this last December, but it was originally from 2017. He said that basically that for a system to be safe, it needed driver monitoring, and it needed to be able to hand off control to, and this is for any human in the loop system to be safe, with 10 seconds of notice. What's fascinating to me is that here he is presenting this frankly, you know, methodologically questionable research that seems to be defending the safety of Tesla. But at the same time, you know, but he's also said you need 10 second handoffs, which Tesla doesn't have, and you need driver monitoring, which Tesla doesn't have. It boggles my mind that nobody has been able to ask him, or that he's never had to answer the question, like, how do you reconcile these two things? How do you say Teslas are autonomous and you know, Teslas are so safe, But at the same time, you know, a human in the loop needs to give 10 seconds of notice and have a driver monitoring system.
Is he saying, though, that Teslas are safe?
He gave them the ammunition to say it.
Yeah, he's saying that.
Right. But he is not necessarily saying in the study. I mean, the study, again, is...
You're right. No, this is a good point because, like, right, to the way I look at it is like, well, why would he have structured his research in such a methodologically poor or, let's say, easy to critique way?
Which is a really good, strong point. To me, that's the biggest issue with this is how it was structured.
Right.
But some of the other stuff, I just don't...
Well.
Like that hurts the study overall.
Okay, so there's two things that I think are important to sort of look at in the context of this study, like not specific to the study itself. One is that Tesla there's just been, you know, instance after instance after instance of either Tesla just coming out with numbers that are totally misleading and misrepresentative, trying to defend the safety of autopilot. You had the NHTSA study, quote unquote, that has been proven to have been absolute bullshit. And then you have this, which is another, you know, at best methodologically questionable study purporting to defend the safety record of autopilot. So this record of, you know, and people constantly tell me on Twitter, like, I use the system, you know, and I just feel like it's safe because I use it all the time. And if you use it all the time, you would too. And the reality is I have used system, not all the time, but I've used several iterations of autopilot, and that reinforces my criticisms. It doesn't invalidate them. Why put bad science out there if it's so self-evidently safe and better? I cannot wrap my mind around that.
Yeah, you still.
Why hasn't there been a good, like, I haven't even finished my freaking bachelor's degree and I've debunked every statistic that's been put out that Tesla or Musk have put out there to defend autopilot safety. Like, where is the good science here? If it's that good, it should be very easy to do a scientifically sound study that proves that this stuff is safe.
Wow.
So I don't disagree with you, but I think that then you can very easily start going down this rabbit hole of like looking for a smoking gun as to why there is bad science. I think there's a lot of bad science out there, and there's a lot of unfortunate studies that are put out there in the world that take either the samples is incorrect or the survey questions are done in a way that taint the end result. And that's unfortunate. I just think that occurs. And unfortunately what's happening as a result is that, as Alex points out, that whatever company that particular study helps, in this case, Tesla, it provides that sort of, again, ammunition to promote their product. And that's why most scientists try to avoid that, right? Because the goal is to, you know, figure out if their hypothesis is correct or not. And you can't find out if the hypothesis is correct or not unless you have a blind sample size. I will note, though, that the one difficulty that Lex or anyone who would want, let's say, wanted to try to do this exact same study, to find out, like, what is this quote unquote functional vigilance about, is to tap, you need to be able to tap into Tesla drivers. And so how do you access that group and how do you do it in a blind way? And so that is the biggest challenge, is your goal is to get access to as many people as possible who come from different backgrounds and do not have a specific driving record. And you're not training them, all those other things, and how you communicate to them throughout the process is really important.
Yeah. I think you need to do something like, say, you know, you want to measure the effect of, you know, weather on something, like basically tell them you're looking at something totally different, but then actually look at that. I think you have to deceive them because, if Tesla owners know that they're participating in something that could, you know, exonerate the system, like, they're not going to drive naturalistically. It's just, I just have too much experience with these people to.
Well, it's the case of any, it doesn't even have to be about Tesla. Any group of people who love a product,
right,
want to help that product. People generally want to be helpful, right? They don't want to be a detriment.
I appreciate you're a very fair person here, Kirsten, but both with this and also with the record that we're talking about earlier, and I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. I don't know why there's been so much bad science put out there to support autopilot. But the record, I genuinely am not, I don't have an answer to it. It's baffling, and especially because it's now embroiled NHTSA and MIT, like two of the most prestigious institutions, theoretically anyway, in our country, have both been caught up in this record. But all I would say, Kirsten, to push back is like, I can't think of anything in either of these cases, either a group of consumers that are as passionate about defending the company that makes the product that they love as Tesla fans. And I don't know of any product, certainly in the automotive space, that has been supported by as much junk science as Autopilot has.
What about fans of Ferrari?
Hang on a second. People who defend Ferrari are usually defending Ferrari racing.
Ferrari is you don't have money.
Okay, guys,
jealous.
There's only one group of owners who will tell bigger fibs about their vehicles to cover up how terrible they are, and that's Morgan owners. Okay, and trust me, I know because I have one, but I never tell people that they're good, only that I love it.
Right. Well, no, you see that with people who love Defenders too. I mean, I would say that actually there are the difference here is that those are just like loving. A lot of times, it's about how often the car breaks down, and it's a different subject about levels of automation. Like you don't see a lot of people defending different levels of automation in their vehicles and having this sort of very personal connection to it. So Tesla is unique in that for sure.
What I find really annoying about even like the Fridman Musk discussion is Fridman knows better than most people, probably equal to us, the difference between autopilot, SAE 2, 3, 4, full self. He knows the difference between these words, and Musk does too. And so when he asks Musk about autopilot and FSD, and Musk just, rolls over the question, and he doesn't even attempt to clarify, Fridman, he goes from being someone fully capable of helping solve all these things to someone who is actually hurting the discourse.
Yeah.
And that's what disappoints me, because I've really enjoyed his podcast for so long. And I see in this paper, if I'm correct about the word management and where his mind is going, he's taking a suboptimal path towards solving these problems.
We'll have to see. So if I leave this podcast right now, will you both maintain control?
It's hard to.
Kirsten, we are unable to control ourselves without you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have to go do my job.
Should we just wrap this up? Let's wrap this up. Because I have to troll Fridman a little bit and ask him to unblock me. I'm just kidding. I don't care.
Well, no, I will say this. And then I actually have to go. I have to bounce immediately. I think that it would be great if actually Lex could come on and answer some of these questions, because a lot of what we put out there, let's hear the philosophy, and it would be, or anyone else who's been on this study. I mean, I think that if the for me, the big issue was the sample. And so essentially, in my view, the data could have easily very much been compromised. And so I would much rather have seen a study that was a blind sample. And so I want to just understand the thinking behind that. And so maybe he'll come on.
Yep.
I have a suggestion before we part ways. The one person in all of this to me who is unimpeachable, whose opinion I truly respect, is Brian Reimer. His name is on this paper, and he has been deliberately quiet because he lets his work speak for himself. In Lex's absence, I'd love to have Brian Reimer come around, because this guy is the real deal.
Yeah, well, hopefully he does.
I mean, do you want to discuss sort of the Musk Fridman conversation at all, or
not really? Because it was something we're doing Lex Fridman a favor by not discussing it today. If he wants to discuss it with us, I'd like to go through it line by line, because his questions were terrible and Musk's answers were even worse.
I, in particular, want to hear what he meant when he said, quote, if you look at the current level 4 vehicles being tested on roads like Waymo and so on, they're only technically autonomous. They're really level 2 systems, just with a different design philosophy.
This is where I mean, this is where
He's trolling, right, Alex? He's got to be trolling.
I would like to give Lex one more opportunity to answer him, so, to answer these questions, because I have been trolled and attacked in podcasts whereas I did not get a chance to speak.
Yeah.
If he doesn't want to come, let Reimer come. And after that, well, all bets are off.
Yeah, and we should say, you know, we genuinely, like, I personally, like, I have some opinions. I've put them out there. I have some thoughts on this, but like, I'm always open to having my mind changed. I'm not someone who like forms an opinion and absolutely can never, you know, back down from that. And so I would just say to Lex or Brian or anybody else who wants to come on and explain this and potentially take on my criticisms or address some of the issues we discussed here, you know, we can't guarantee any outcome of it, except that we can guarantee that we will give you a fair hearing.
Oh, I've also been wrong, and I love the old quote. I think it's John Maynard Keynes. He says, "When the facts change, I change my mind, sir. What do you do?" It's a good lesson for life.
Indeed.
All right, signing off. Have a great day.
Yep, you too.